Persistent Prayer is our title today. Luke 18, 1-8 is our text. Last week's text came from the beginning of chapter 17. In the second part of chapter 17, some of the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. Now, that's an interesting, we could probably reflect on that. Why were the Pharisees asking him that? But we're not going to dwell on that. Jesus answered their question, and he said, in answer, he said, the kingdom of God does not come visibly. You won't say to somebody, oh, it's over here or it's over there. He says, it's within you. The kingdom of God comes in you. And so then Jesus talks about the coming of the Son of Man. And by that, we understand his return. We understand that. When he was speaking in that day, they didn't exactly understand that yet. But he says people will long to see that. They will long to see the coming of the Son of Man. But he said when it comes, people will be in the middle of doing their normal activities. They will be eating, they will be drinking, they will be buying and selling. It's just normal activities. And he says, like in Noah's day, when people were just about their daily activities and then the flood came, the rain came. Or like in Lot's day, as Lot and his family escaped out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said in Lot's day, it came suddenly. The people were just doing their normal activities when the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah happened. And so he says, like that, people will be going about their normal daily activities until suddenly the Son of Man will return. We want to keep that in mind as Jesus was saying that, what he was talking about, the coming of the kingdom of God, as we think about then what Jesus goes on to tell his disciples when it comes to prayer, because the context matters in how we understand what he's talking about. So that's what we'll be thinking about as we hear from Luke 18, 1-8. I'll invite you to stand as you are able. Luke 18, 1-8. Reading in Jesus' name. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. And as we consider this parable that Jesus taught and what it tells us about coming to you as our Father and how we pray to you and what we pray for, we ask that you would guide our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and I would like to invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front at this time. Let's see. All right, come up. We got a few more coming up. All right. Okay. Do you have an idea what this guy might be doing? Praying. Does it look like he's praying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of does. That's kind of a way that we think about how you might be when you're praying, how you might be sitting. He's got his eyes closed. He's got his hands folded. And looks like he's thinking about praying. He might not be, but that's what I learned. That's the image I searched for, and that's what came up. So I'm going to assume that he's praying, right? Do you guys ever pray?
Yeah.
Yeah? What are some of the things that you pray for? You have an idea? You pray for candy? Oh, that's a fun one to pray for, huh? What else? What do others pray for? What are some other things that... What is praying anyway? What are we doing when we're praying?
We pray to God.
We pray to God, right? We're talking to God when we do that. That's the way that we talk to Him. We don't have another way. He doesn't come in front of us and we talk to Him, right? Do we call Him on the phone? No, we don't do that. No, so that's the way that we talk to him. We pray. And so what are some things that we could ask him about? Oh, yeah, we'll see. Well, we're not ready to pass them out yet. We'll see in a moment here. Anybody else? Anything else that you pray for? Do you ask God to take care of you? Do you ever ask him that? Do you ever ask him to take care of your family? Do you ever ask God to help you understand something? Have you ever asked him that? Do you think we can ask him to help us understand the Bible and what he's saying and help us to trust in Jesus? Do you think we could ask him for that? There are a lot of things that we can ask God for, that we can pray for. And that's kind of what we're thinking about today, is how do we talk to God and what do we pray for? So that's what I want you to be thinking about today as you think about what we read today. Let's see. Well, maybe I'll... Did you hand those out? You want to do it? Yeah, you can hand them. Okay. Why don't you go down this way? There we go. All right. Okay, thanks for coming up. You guys can go back to your seats. All right. And you can take the extras back with you if you have extras. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Looks like they're all on their way back. Well, let me ask a question just to reflect on a little bit here. How do we pray? How do we pray? And I'm not thinking the manner or the necessarily the particular ways that we do it. Like, do we fold our hands? Do we close our eyes? But what is our approach to prayer? How do we approach prayer? Do we pray regularly, on a regular basis? Maybe there are times that we pray for particular reasons. Do we pray more intermittently? When we happen to think about it, we might pray. Or maybe simply occasionally. Sometimes the thought doesn't come to our mind and it's just occasionally that we pray. How many times have you had the experience where something happens to you and you're trying to solve a problem, you're trying to figure something out, or you're wondering what will happen, how something will go, and eventually, after a while, you think, oh, maybe I should pray about this. Have you ever had that happen? You don't have to raise your hands, but you know, I'm assuming most hands would probably go up. I've been there more times than I would care to admit. Something happens. A few weeks ago, I talked about driving out to Montana and the car breaking down around midnight. Not quite to Fargo. And, I have a feeling, I don't remember exactly, but I think it probably took me a while before I said a prayer about anything. I tried to figure out what we could do on our own in doing that. That was the first thing. And then eventually, and like I said, there have been other times too, where eventually I get around to praying. How often have we done that, where it takes a while? Maybe on the other hand, or maybe even if that is the case in particular circumstances, maybe it's also true that we pray on a regular basis. That might be true for you. It's true for me, true for our family. We have special times that we set aside to pray during the day. But even there, sometimes we can get just into a easy pattern. Or for me, the trouble for me is, nothing comes to mind sometimes when I'm praying. Unless I have something in front of me that can remind me of things that I want to pray for, I try to pray and I think, oh, what am I praying for anyway? What are the things that I want to be praying for right now? And so it's helpful to have something or I just pray about the same things, you know, on a regular basis. And they might be good things, but then I forget about others that I could bring to God. Maybe you've had that experience as well. There are some, certainly, that are very good at prayer and at praying regularly, at praying about many different things, about praying for people and all of their needs, and they come to mind well and they do that fervently. And I know there are some in our congregation who are very good at that. The rest of us, including me, probably need some encouragement in how we can pray and how we can bring our things to God, the things that are concern to our life. And what about the things that come to mind then to pray? Is it simply the things that are needs in the moment? Or are we able to think beyond that and think about other things? There are many things that we certainly could be praying for. Health, well-being, There might be things with work. For those that are in school, maybe there might be decisions to be made regarding maybe school or work or where we live or even serving others. We might have to make decisions on how to do that. And so those are things that come to mind as we want to pray. Maybe we do pray for others as well. Maybe we pray for our family or our friends. And maybe a similar request that we have about our own lives. Or we pray about current events. And certainly there are many of those going on. Many of those to pray for. And so we pray for those. And as we think about prayers, Jesus tells his disciples a parable to show to pray always and not give up. As we think about all those different things that we could be praying for, pray and don't give up is what Jesus says, is what Luke tells us the point of this parable was that Jesus was telling. So here's the parable. Let's just think about this story for a little bit here that Jesus tells. And there's kind of a contrast here. In a certain town, there is a judge. And we have a description of this judge. And first of all, he didn't fear God. He didn't fear God. So he had no thought about God, no thought about his goodness, his holiness, his law, any of that. He had no care for him. And this is the first thing when you think about justice, because justice, the theme of justice comes up in this story and in what Jesus says about it. As you think about that, God's word and what he says should be the first thing that somebody goes to when we think about justice. But this judge did not care about that. He did not think about what God has to say. He also didn't care what people thought about him. So if nothing else, we might say, well, maybe somebody doesn't care about what God says, but at the very least, do the right thing because people are watching. And people will, you might have give a bad impression if you do the wrong thing. So somebody, if they're not thinking about God, at the very least, they might be thinking about, well, this makes me look bad and I won't have respect in the community if I give bad judgments. But this judge had neither one of those concerns. He didn't really care about what God thought. He did not really care about what people thought. The only thing he really cared about is what would help himself. That's it. So it appears that he would give a good judgment if it benefited him, and he would give a bad judgment or ignore if that benefited him or if he didn't care about it. That's all he cared about. The other character we have in this story is a widow. And it's important to remember that, especially in this culture, in this time, a widow really was one of the least valuable people in a community. Often she had no way of supporting herself. She was dependent on other people. Probably a male family member would depend on to care for her needs. No rights for herself. No power. No way to influence anything in life. Apparently something has happened in her life. Someone, not just a bad situation, not just, the roof happened to cave in or something like that, or she got sick or something like that, some kind of average problem. The problem that she had was that somebody did something to her. So injustice had happened. She has suffered offense at the hands of somebody else. Justice needs to happen. And the place for that to happen is before a judge. So this widow wants justice. She wants things to be made right. She needs the law to function in the way that it's supposed to function, where those who have been acted against find justice and things are made right. Well, this judge refuses for a while. He doesn't even want to hear the case. It doesn't matter to him. It doesn't impact him. So he doesn't care. But the widow keeps coming. She comes back again and again. And finally, he gives in. And as happens in a story, not in real life, we actually hear his thoughts, and his thoughts reflect the truth of the situation as opposed to what he might want to say in that situation. As Jesus is telling this story, we hear him describe what's going on, this unjust judge. In his words, he acknowledges the truth that though I don't fear God, imagine somebody actually saying that, though I don't fear God or care what people think, he's describing the situation for us, but because the widow keeps bothering me, imagine if we were all this honest, right, about our motives and what we do. Because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she doesn't attack me. That's the way we have it translated in the current version of the NIV. Before it was revised, it actually said, so that she doesn't wear me out. That was a different way. You know, it actually says, so that she doesn't give me a black eye, is what it actually means there. That's what the Greek says. So that she doesn't give me a black eye. You know, I guess we're interpreting what does that mean as these different translators translate it. But again, he's really only self-centered. He doesn't care about justice. He cares only about what will impact him. And he says, if I don't give her justice, she's not just going to go away. I want rid of this problem. So I will give her justice. So she gets it. Things are made right. Now, what does this have to do with prayer to God? And praying to God and talking to Him? Jesus says, thinking about this story, if this unjust judge would give justice for this reason, won't God bring justice for His chosen ones who cry out day and night? Will He keep putting them off? No, they will get justice. Of course, as we think about this story that Jesus told and our relationship with God, it's important to remember, as we saw a few weeks ago with another story Jesus told, the point is entirely contrast as opposed to comparison. And if we look at a few of these details, we will be aided even further in understanding how God responds to us. In the case of this widow, justice happened, though every motive and every action on the part of the one who was to bring justice was wrong. Every one of his actions and motivations was wrong, and yet justice still happened. How much more will justice happen when every motivation and every action is right, which is what's true with God? The judge thinks only of himself. There is no concern for anybody else, but God, on the other hand, cares for others. In fact, you might say that's his primary concern. It's not like he has needs himself, so, you know, it's not like he's putting aside his needs for that. He doesn't need anything, but his love for others shows through always. He always loves others. This widow. Now, we might think, as we look at the widow and identify with her in some ways, and, you know, in some ways we could. We might see ourselves as someone who is, or people that we know, as people who are not getting justice. But there's a point of comparison and of contrast here as well. The widow, in relationship to the judge, has no power and really almost has no right to be heard, and he will not give her any right to be heard. The contrast, then, is us, in relation to God, are always on His mind. He doesn't think about us simply because we come to us. He is always thinking about us. We always have a place in His mind and in His heart. Going back to the judge, he gives justice reluctantly, selfishly. God, on the other hand, gives justice readily, because it's in His nature to give justice. And even though it says the widow keeps coming back to the judge, we understand that this, it just practically speaking, has to mean there's time in between. She comes back repeatedly, but there must be time in between there. The judge has, although not much time, because he's getting bothered by her, but there's some time. She can't come in the middle of the night, right? But God's chosen ones can come to Him at any time. Every time is open. And so with all of this in mind, Jesus asks the question, will He keep putting them off? Would He keep putting them off? Would He even put them off at all? Would God ignore His people for even a second? That's Jesus' question. Now, as we think about life, we might think, wow, we don't see immediate justice all the time. It does appear that God does delay at times. If we think about what Jesus is saying, then, we find that, along with other places in Scripture, we find that if we see what seems to be a delay, The reality is that God has bigger plans. God has something more. We read with Peter that, time is of no consequence to God. A day is like 1,000 years. He's patient. A delay that seems like he's waiting to give justice is really his patience, waiting for us to come to him. Though sometimes the waiting can be very, very unbearable to us. But the other thing is, the context, like I said, in which Jesus was saying this, Luke seems to be linking it to what Jesus was saying beforehand, whether it happened immediately after or not, he links it to that, and Jesus was talking about his return. Justice will come quickly. When it is time, it will happen. And that thought is brought further by Jesus' final comment in what we read today. Jesus asks, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's the context in which Jesus is talking about coming to him and being heard by God and justice being delivered by him. When he returns, will he find faith? What does that mean? Will he find faith, people believing in him? Well, let's think about the context again. Will he find this faith? The faith that not only believes in him, but the faith that doesn't give up, that asks day and night, that asks any time is needed for what is needed in life. But even more focused than that, not just prayers, not just any prayers, for example, for sickness or travel or school or work or any of those things that may be going on in our lives, which are certainly welcome to God. Those are certainly things that we want to bring to him. But this is, Jesus is talking here in the scope of justice. And remember, as I said, Jesus had been talking about, he asked here about the coming of the kingdom. He was asked about the coming of the kingdom of God. And he was talking about that. And he spoke about the coming of the Son of Man and his return, that it will come quickly. And the prayers that we're thinking about here are primarily in relation to that, in relation to Jesus' return, where final justice will happen, and in relation to the coming of the kingdom of God. Right now, well, I don't know which lesson we're on exactly, but in confirmation, the kids that are going through confirmation, one of the lessons we've done recently has to do with the coming of God's kingdom. Our prayer, your kingdom come, that we have in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. What does that mean? Well, the explanation that we have in the catechism says his kingdom comes of itself without our prayer. God doesn't need us to pray it for it to happen. But we pray in this petition that it would also come to us. When we say, your kingdom come, that's what we're asking, is that his kingdom would be within us and in our midst. So the prayers that Jesus appears to have in mind here are prayers about his kingdom, about justice, not just earthly justice in this life, though that is important, and we can certainly ask him about those things. If someone is treated unjustly, we want to pray about that. But even bigger than that is eternal justice, being made right with God so we can be in eternity with him. And so these prayers that have the kingdom of God in mind are prayers for ourselves, for forgiveness of sins as we come to him in repentance, prayers of thanksgiving for what God has done in our lives. Those are certainly a part of it. Prayers for others. Prayers that others would hear, that they would believe the message, the good news of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus. That's the coming of the kingdom of God. This might be prayers for people in other parts of the world. We pray for that. We pray and we send missionaries to people in other countries that where they have no chance of hearing the message, the good news of the gospel. And so we pray that they would. We pray that those who are working in those places would be able to speak clearly the message of Jesus and that people would believe. Closer to home, we pray for family and friends. There might be family and friends that we know that we are close to who have never believed in Jesus. That may be the case. And so we pray for them. There might be others who have believed in the past and have turned away and now are not believing. And so we pray for them. We pray for those things that get in the way of the coming of the kingdom of God. Broken relationships, as we may have them, as we may have maybe deep broken relationships where somebody may not even speak to somebody else that is in their family, possibly. Maybe it's not that serious. Maybe it's simply things that appear on the surface, things that cause tension between people. We pray for reconciliation to God and between people, that justice would happen between people. As we think about these different ways that we may pray for God's kingdom to come, both for ourselves and for others, pray and don't give up. Pray and don't give up. I'll say it again. Pray and don't give up. Don't give up. We can say that about anything, but especially about these things, the coming of the kingdom of God. Pray and don't give up. When we see injustice in this world, when we wonder, when will God fix all of these things? Well, we're reminded that God has done, through Jesus, what is necessary to fix everything. And so we pray for Jesus' return. We pray for the time when things will be made perfect again. And in the meantime, because we know that currently Jesus' return will mean that some are condemned for eternity, we pray that those who are, that are not currently trusting in Him, would believe, so that when He returns, they will be a part of those who are with Him forever. We pray for justice in people's lives, for what it makes the difference in this life, but also the bigger justice that they would be saved and part of God's kingdom. God has promised to hear. Readily hear when we pray to Him. And He will bring justice. And when Jesus returns, it will not be a struggle. It will be quick when He returns and justice will happen. So let's respond to His invitation to pray persistently, to pray and not give up. Father, thank You for the invitation that we have. Thank You for this contrast. So many things that we see wrong in the judge in the story, and that we know that You are the complete opposite. We don't have to wonder if we are bothering You when we come to You, if we are too much, if You care about us. We don't have to wonder about all those things. We know that we are no bother, that You love us, that You want us to come to You, that You want us to trust in You, and that You want Your kingdom to come in every heart around the world. And as we reflect on that, and as we come to You in our prayers, I ask that You would help us, remind us to pray persistently, without giving up, until we see justice, until we see the kingdom of God come to the hearts of those around us, and to our own hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.